Hello, this is Michael Ryan, and welcome to Knowing Jesus. Today we're going to tackle the question, did Jesus Christ really rise from the dead? It's an important question, so let's just start. Lord God, I ask that you would speak, and it be your wisdom, Lord, that this would be reasonable and be clear, that anyone listening would just be touched by your spirit, God, and that they would either grow to understand you deeper, Lord, or eyes would be open to accept you completely, Lord. In your name, Lord, by faith I ask all these things. Amen. So, did Jesus Christ really resurrect from the dead? This is a cornerstone of our faith, the Christian faith. And here's what the Bible has to say about the importance of the resurrection of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:14-19. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses, liars of God, because we have testified of him that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And if in this life we only have hope in Christ, we are all of men most pitiable. This is our foundation here, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead with our sins to present to God. And if it's not true, if it's alive, any part of it is doubtful or shady or misleading, then the whole entire Christian faith is empty. You can't be halfway in this. You can't have one foot in, one foot out. Either he rose from the dead or he didn't. But not only that, not only is a Christian faith empty, but the whole world, as is said in that scripture, the entire world is hopeless and in trouble because every human being has sinned against God. And the scripture says in Proverbs 29, who can say, I have made my heart clean or I am pure from my sin? People may think that their good deeds can justify them, but they can't. Everyone has sinned towards God and everyone's going to be guilty before him. Every one of us. When we die, immediately, there's no coming back to life. There's no nice place with a garden. We like to think that. Especially when our loved ones pass away, we hold on to different truths that we create, but God has given you his truth. That when we die, we are immediately judged. Immediately. And just as the scriptures say, who can say I've made my heart clean, I've been pure from sin? No one can say that. And we think that because we do good deeds, or we have this religion or that religion, and we go to church, or we do this particular behavior or act, that will justify ourselves, but we can't. No different than Adam and Eve. They couldn't hide the fact that they sinned against God by eating the fruit. So they hid themselves with fig leaves to cover their nakedness, but God, they were still naked. And we put on fig leaves all the time to hide from the reality of who we are before God. But our success, our degrees, our favor, our popularity, none of those things are going to matter. It says in Proverbs that riches do not deliver. They don't deliver for anyone from the day of judgment, but righteousness delivers from death. God sent Jesus to clean up everyone's heart, to purify every human and from every sin that they've ever committed, ever. And if he did not rise from the dead to be every human being sacrificed for every sin that they've made, then everyone's going to be found guilty and in judgment and have no escape. So without further ado, let's jump in. And let me rephrase the question, because we do know that Jesus Christ is God and he is the Messiah and he is resurrected. So I want to rephrase the question to, how can we know for sure that Jesus rose from the dead? How do we know that? And the most powerful and simplest answer to that is faith. In Hebrews 11, it says that faith is the substance of things unseen. The evidence. It's the evidence that we have. It's something that says we don't need to see for ourselves. We can just apprehend it through the sixth sense of faith. But the scripture says there's even more to that. 1 Peter 3:15, God says to always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Reason. There is reason working alongside of this faith we have. Faith is enough. Faith is indeed enough, but we can also defend this faith with a reason. Now, there are three main reasons that I'm going to give for our faith and my faith in Jesus Christ rising from the dead. There's many. There's countless. But I'm just going to give three main ones. And we're going to just jump straight in. They're simple. They're very simple reasons. But maybe it will give you something to think about. But I hope you can This is clear and reasonable and understandable to you for why I have the faith that I have. The first reason for my faith that Jesus rose from the dead is because Jesus said he would. Mark 10:33-34, Jesus says, "Behold, we are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. And they will mock him, scourge him, spit on him, kill him, and the third day he will rise again." Mark 9:31-32, "For he taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day. But they did not understand this saying, and they were afraid to ask him." Mark 8:31, also says, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again." Three times he predicted his resurrection. Now, when you speak to most people about Jesus, they'll deny his resurrection or see it as some Christian mythology or symbolism. Instead, you'll hear that he was just a good man or a nice person, a prophet of God. But I challenge you, think about this. He can't be both buried somewhere in the earth and be a good person or God's prophet. He must be a liar or at the very least crazy. He's recorded in every gospel predicting his death and resurrection. Either he was deliberately trying to deceive you and I, or he was crazy. And I believe he was neither a liar or a lunatic, but that he really was indeed God in the flesh, divinely predicting the truth of his resurrection. It's the same person that taught to others to love their enemies, to forgive those who harm you. He spoke up against religious hypocrites who misled people. He healed the blind, the lame, the crippled, the sick, the demon-possessed. It's reported in the gospel that God spoke out of heaven regarding Jesus. In Luke 9:35, God says, "This is my son, listen to him." So no, I don't believe he was lying. I don't believe he was a lunatic. And I hope that you can see that it's unreasonable that anyone can claim that Jesus did not rise from the dead, but he still was a good person. You can't have that. You can't say, "I believe in the Bible, I'm a Christian, but Jesus was a nice person." No. You can see clearly from what I've read to you, he says he's going to rise from the dead. So either he's telling the truth or he's not. My second reason for trusting this faith is simple. Simple reason. People saw him after he died. John 20:11-18, "But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stood down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' So she, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him, 'Rabboni,' which is to say, 'teacher.' Mary came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and they had spoken these things, and that he had spoken these things to her. He appeared to his disciples, John 20:19-20. Then the same day at the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled," the doors are shut, friends, "for fear of the Jews, because they were afraid, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." He appeared to his disciple who doubted the resurrection. This disciple, Thomas, wasn't there when Jesus just appeared himself in the shut room. So he came and says in John 20:24, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the door being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.'" My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Lastly, he appeared to hundreds of people. 1 Corinthians 15:3-8. "For I delivered to you first of all, which I also have received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have died. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me as by one born out of due time." And there's many more accounts of him appearing, but it's reasonable. It's reasonable. The New Testament is the most historically accurate, reliable piece of ancient literature in existence, and these sightings are recorded in support of the resurrection of Christ. So faith is enough, and I've given you two solid reasons that this faith makes sense. Jesus Christ said it, and we all know that his recorded actions and just prove that he's not a liar, he's not a lunatic, he's not crazy. Even atheist historians believe and respect him as a man. They just despise that people go and say that he was more than a man. But he said that he would rise from the dead. Secondly, people actually saw him face to face and spoke with him after he died. That's a very simple reason to trust what happened. But there is even more compelling reasons to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And I'd like to share with you the third reason, and probably to me, the most compelling reason for why Jesus rose from the dead. And that is human behavior. You ever watch CSI? And how do most of these detectives figure out whether someone's lying or not? Or whether they should suspect a person of a crime? The way they behave. It's the way they act that gives it away. A man's wife disappeared. She's dead. And they find him somewhere, you know, happy, relaxed, doing nothing. Or where was he the night that she disappeared? What was he doing when she disappeared? Behavior. I mean, this stuff goes a long way. This is how people get caught cheating on their partners. You know, this is how people get caught with murder, theft, and other crimes. It's how they acted. So let's go back. Let's go back to how people acted in that day. Let's see the behavior and the change of behavior. And does it correspond with the belief, with this assertion that these men were saying that Jesus Christ has rose from the dead? Because remember, it's these apostles, these disciples, who were going around and telling people, the world, that they have seen Jesus Christ. And all the other 500 people had been disciples and had shared and said, we've seen him. So why would these men do this? Let's look at their behavior and see if it adds up. So we have to go back to the basics. We have to go back to where it started. Jesus is arrested in the garden in John 18. How did his disciples react to that? They were terrified. They ran away and left them alone. Matthew 26, verse 56 says, then all the disciples forsook him and fled. They knew that the Roman punishment was real deal. It was brutal, and they didn't want to have anything to do with it. In fact, they went back to their regular lives. There's an account where Jesus, you know, he had rose from the dead, and he saw his two disciples walking on the road. They didn't recognize him, okay? And he didn't reveal who he was either. I talked about this in other podcasts about Jesus Christ being God and how he was private about his identity, and he wanted others to see him. So he didn't reveal who he was to them. They had to figure it out for themselves. But when I give you this account, notice their disappointment and disbelief. The disappointment and disbelief, these former disciples of Jesus Christ, watching their master, watching him get, you know, dragged away, beaten, tortured, they lost faith, and they weren't trying to go and preach anything about Jesus Christ rising from the dead. They didn't even believe it. And they were disappointed in disbelief. So let's see, Luke 24, verse 19, Jesus comes alongside these two disciples, and he says, what kind of conversation is this that you guys are having with one another as you walk and are so sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. And indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things have happened. Yes, and a certain woman of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. They're talking about Mary, who we just read about. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. So they're not even believing Mary's testimony. They're not even believing what they heard from Mary because they hadn't seen him yet. They didn't see him as the Son of God in that account. They didn't describe him as the Son of God. They talked about him as a prophet, you know, mighty indeed. No longer were they calling him the Christ. Before, you know, they were saying, oh, you're the Christ. They're not calling him that any longer. They stopped believing who he was. Look at that behavior. Peter denied Jesus three times. Three times. This is the same guy that says, Lord, I'll die for you. In fact, the last time he denied Jesus, he was cursing and swearing about it because he was so afraid. Matthew 26:73-74. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed. Now Thomas, as we read before, when he was told that that Jesus was risen, he refused to believe. He didn't even want to believe. Again, people aren't trying to go risk their lives for something that they're not sure about. That's the behavior that we're seeing, if you can pick up. People aren't just like these gullible Christians who believe anything, right? So you know how people say that all these Christians are so gullible to believe anything? Look at these men. They weren't gullible. They weren't any fools. Hey, look, I just saw somebody get dragged away. I'm out. I'm leaving. They left him. They forsake him. They denied him. When they heard that he came back, they didn't go, "Oh yeah, look at Thomas." Didn't believe, as we just read. He said, "Look, unless I touch him myself, because maybe he's just a ghost, unless I touch him, I'm not going to believe." He didn't even believe without the 10 disciples who he lived with for 3 years. And what about the Apostle Paul? He was a highly respected religious leader. He devoted his life to killing Christians. He hated them for believing that the man Jesus Christ was supposed to be God and Savior of the world. He hated them. He writes, it's written in Acts 26:9-11, that Paul said, "Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison. Having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them, and I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities." So this is how his followers behaved before they met the risen Jesus. This is how they acted before they saw him face to face. These men who claimed that he came back from the dead. But afterward, they saw him face to face. They saw him face to face and they preached him with no regard to their life. Peter died in Rome, Italy. He was crucified head down at his own request. Andrew, the son of John and brother of Peter, died in Greece. He was severely scourged and tied by ropes on an X-shaped cross. He hung for 2 days to die. James, one of the other disciples, was beheaded by the sword. John was thrown in boiling oil, but unharmed, died of natural causes. Philip was crucified. Bartholomew was beaten, flayed, crucified head down. Thomas, lanced by idolatrous priests and burned up in an oven. Matthew, axed to death with the axe. James, thrown down from the temple tower. He didn't die, so he was clubbed to death with a fuller's club at the age of 94. Jude, crucified. Simon Azila, crucified. And Matthias, he was stoned and beheaded. Paul, the guy who formerly used to persecute Christians, who then changed and started writing 2/3 of our New Testament, he was beheaded. He was beheaded. Every day people die for a lie. Some people believe that it's true, that there'll be a reward for killing a woman or a child in the name of God, but nobody dies brutally for a lie that they know was a lie. What would make these men give up everything after we read that they were so willing not to? That either they left him, denied him, or hated him and his people. Why would they change if it wasn't true? What profit would they have to preach a lie, to teach that Jesus is the only way to be saved, to preach that people should love one another, to be honest, to do good deeds? What would cause such a change apart from it being true? So I challenge you. Do you believe that he came back to life? Do you believe that he's alive? Do you really believe, or do you just recite it? How is your life being touched by his resurrection? How does your behavior change daily because of the good news? We have no fear of death or eternal punishment. We have the gift of God living inside of us, all because Jesus not only died, but came back to life. This is the most important thing that anyone can talk about, is the resurrection. And I think I've tried to show to you that those three reasons, that Jesus Christ said so, that people saw him, and that people changed radically their behaviors, radically. Not to mention that when they said the tomb was empty, the people who killed him went to go check the tomb. They themselves saw it was empty. They had no excuse for why it was empty. The only thing they said was the disciples went and stole the body. These same disciples who we just read about, who were afraid to even say they knew him, stole the body, lied about the whole thing. Doesn't seem reasonable if you think about it. So I just encourage you to think about these things and really challenge yourself with what is true about Jesus. Lord, thank you for this opportunity, Lord. and speak to the heart of anyone listening. In your name, amen.